Good evening, everyone. For WRCO News, I'm Todd Coppernoll. Mid-Continent Grid Solutions hosted an open house regarding the proposed 765 kilovolt power line project at the Richland Center High School today, which attracted a crowd rivaling any in the school's 31-year history. Company Representative Brian Radday spoke extensively with WRCO News, stating the purpose of the open house, which was a voluntary, unmandated outreach, was to hear from the public so that MGS would be more informed as decisions are being made. Radday pointed out things are, quote, early in the process. MGS wants to hear from local people, which is why the series of open houses throughout the area was scheduled. Radday stated Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, or MISO, began studying this project in 2019 and that MGS was selected to complete the project by MISO through a bidding process. The purpose of this new power line is stated to be to help the overall power grid maintain reliability for homes and businesses. Radday said 75% of the power impacted by the project would be for homes, commercial, and manufacturing facilities. When asked about local concerns regarding land ownership, the environment, potential impacts on farming, and potential pollution, Radday said, "We want parcel-specific feedback. We want to minimize the impact on people and the environment. Everyone will be treated with respect. Any impacted landowner would be compensated fairly." When asked why the proposed line wouldn't utilize an established corridor where existing power lines already are, or perhaps along the interstate highway, Radday's response was, "Paralleling is a first step, but isn't always best." Radday further explained, "The project MISO submitted for bids calls for the new lines to connect points from the Beloit area to Walworth County, to a substation in Portage, to Bell Center in Crawford County. There is no straight line, no existing corridor available that would connect the locations called for in the project." With regards to potentially burying the lines, rather than utilizing towers along the route, Radday said, "Burying doesn't work at this voltage," and that MISO didn't allow bids to consider burying the lines. When asked about potential health issues for people, livestock, and wildlife, Radday said, "There have been thousands of studies done over 50 years that show no adverse health effects." When his statement was repeated back to him, asking, "You said thousands of studies over 50 years, is that correct?" Radday's response was, "Yes, that is correct. There's one on our website from the World Health Organization." Radday also said one of the proposed poles replaces 4 to 5 poles from a 345 kilovolt line, making this project less intrusive than some people may be envisioning. At the conclusion of our conversation, Radday was asked for representatives from MGS to appear on the WRCO morning show, which he verbally agreed to do. We'll have more on that as details become available. There is a community meeting scheduled regarding the proposed 765 kilovolt power line project in Richland Center Wednesday, August 26th at 6 p.m. at the Richland Center City Auditorium. All residents and anyone with interest in this proposed project are invited to attend to discuss and strategize. The meeting has a 4-point agenda: review and discuss information provided at Monday's open house held by Mid-Continent Grid Solutions, introduce those involved in opposing the 765 kilovolt line, strategize the next steps, and decide on action to take following the meeting. Again, that is Wednesday, August 26th, 6 p.m. at the Richland Center City Auditorium. The second annual Richland Center Mystery Weekend has concluded with wonderful results. Participation in the event grew by 50% year over year, and just as importantly, everyone involved had a great time. Event organizer Jay Hamby says that while the event does raise money for a local organization, the main idea is to have fun, get people out and about in Richland Center, and help foster new friendships and connections. Hamby states the event has created a second family for everyone involved. Hamby thanked Ben Kels, Derek Westby, the Phoenix Center, the Union at the Richland Center City Auditorium, WRCO Radio, and the Chamber of Commerce for their help with the organization and promotion of this year's Mystery Weekend. Work has already begun on next year's event with selection of the 2027 charity or cause at the top of the very early agenda. If you haven't heard, Marvellous, played by Ashley Westby, was the guilty party in this year's mystery. WRCO News received a notice from the Okooch Mountain Humane Society stating, "It's come to the attention of the Board of Directors for the Okooch Mountain Humane Society that a meeting has been scheduled for Wednesday of this week. While we respect our members' right to request a special meeting under both our bylaws and Wisconsin law, this request is not proper. The Board of Directors is responsible for facilitating a meeting of this nature and sending notice to our members." Southwest Wisconsin Technical College is actively working to strengthen emergency medical services across the region, a mission significantly bolstered by a state emergency medical services education grant. This initiative focuses on expanding access to vital training, as evidenced by a recent EMT class in Dodgeville that drew 38 students. To accommodate this group, classes were hosted at both the EMS station garage and the Iowa County Sheriff's Department, demonstrating the college's commitment to flexible local education. The grant is particularly vital for rural communities where the need for trained providers is acute. According to data provided by the college, 72% of the 50 EMS providers within its district are volunteers, which is significantly higher than the 41% statewide average. State Senator Howard Markline has championed the grant, emphasizing the necessity of accessible regional training to maintain essential services for residents in southwestern Wisconsin. The funding supports various aspects of EMS education, including instructor training, refresher courses, equipment upgrades, and expanded outreach. All of these efforts are aimed at building a stronger pipeline of professionals and volunteers. Chris Scovel, an academic lead and director instructor at Southwest Tech, highlighted the importance of community involvement, noting that volunteers are essential to local operations and keeping squads running. Additionally, the college has bolstered its training capabilities by purchasing an ambulance from the Dodgeville Ambulance Service. Scoville described this collaborative move as a perfect opportunity to enhance local training resources, calling it a win-win for both the college and the community. Individuals who are interested in pursuing EMS training and giving back to their communities are encouraged to reach out to their local EMS department for more information. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is inviting the public to provide critical feedback on the allocation of future opioid settlement funds. As the state continues to manage the financial impact of litigation against the pharmaceutical industry, officials are seeking input on the best strategies to address the ongoing opioid crisis. Wisconsin is set to receive a total of more than $874 million between 2022 and 2038, with $11.6 million earmarked for the upcoming year to support vital prevention, treatment, and recovery services. This funding aims to expand programming, reduce overdose deaths, and limit the spread of infectious diseases across Wisconsin communities. Michelle Hayes, the DHS Director of Substance Use Initiatives, emphasized the importance of local perspectives, noting that feedback from those familiar with specific community needs is essential for determining how to best adapt response efforts and save lives. Interesting individuals can submit their ideas through an online survey that remains open until September 30th. The serene backdrop of Rice Lake Airport was recently disrupted not by the roar of airplane engines, but by the high-speed pursuit of a vehicle on nearby 19th Street. A deputy patrolling the area witnessed a driver pushing their vehicle to a staggering 114 miles per hour in a strictly regulated 55 mile per hour zone, creating a situation that was as dangerous as it was unexpected. Upon being pulled over, the driver offered an explanation that revealed the source of his reckless urgency. Having just departed a nearby golf course, he admitted to a performance so dismal that he had played a horrible round and ultimately quit early after losing every single golf ball in his bag. His attempt to outrun his frustrations on the fairway led him to treat the public highway like an open runway. While the local authorities acknowledge that golf is a sport capable of testing anyone's patience, they were quick to emphasize that such frustration provides no excuse for exceeding the speed limit by more than double. The incident serves as a stark reminder for all residents. When the game goes south, the driving range is the appropriate place to vent, not the driving lane. For this particular golfer, the day ended with a penalty much steeper than any bunker could provide. The Richland Center Planning Commission is scheduled to meet Wednesday, August 26th at 5:30 p.m. in the Municipal Building Council Room to address new business and review recent administrative reports. The primary agenda item for this session is the request from Schreiber Foods for a conditional use permit at 920 Sextonville Road, intended to authorize dairy product processing and support planned infrastructure improvements, including whey silo additions and a new intake bay. This request follows the Commission's recent actions in July, where members finalized recommendations regarding the conveyance of 929 West Seminary Street to Lydia's House Ministries and the proposed ordinance amendment for electronic message center signs on public property. Additionally, the Commission will review the Zoning Administrator's report for July, which details a busy period of permit activity and project inquiries. The Richland Hospital and Clinics recently hosted its annual Club Scrub program, providing middle school students in grades 6 through 8 with a unique, hands-on look at the diverse world of healthcare. This free initiative offers participants the chance to step outside the classroom and into a clinical environment where they can interact directly with professionals across various departments. By showcasing both clinical and non-clinical roles, the program aims to spark early interest in medical careers and encourages students to join organizations like Healthcare Occupation Students of America, HOSA. TRHC remains a dedicated supporter of future professionals, sponsoring local HOSA chapters at Richland Center and Riverdale High Schools. One of the standout moments from this year's session occurred when Lacey Brenninger, a member of the laboratory team, allowed students to observe her prenatal ultrasound appointment conducted by Dr. Andrew Wright. This rare, real-world glimpse into obstetrics and patient care left a profound impact on the attendees. One student shared that while they always had a general interest in nursing, witnessing the session solidified their dream of becoming an OB nurse and participating in the hospital's volunteer program for high school students. Such personal connections help demystify the medical field and turn abstract career goals into tangible aspirations. The exploration extended well beyond the exam room as students rotated through the emergency department, nutrition services, surgery, and clinic operations. Parents noted that the immersive nature of the event kept their children engaged and eager to return, highlighting the community's growing interest in these educational outreach efforts. Ken Nelson, Vice President and Chief Nursing Officer at TRHC, emphasized that Club Scrub is a cornerstone of the organization's commitment to community outreach, showcasing the expertise and compassion of the hospital staff while inspiring the next generation. The success of the day was made possible through the coordination of Sarah Stibbe and the volunteer efforts of numerous TRHC team members who served as mentors. Experts from across the hospital, including nursing staff, specialists, and administrative leaders, dedicated their time to teaching the students. As inquiries for next year's program already begin to arrive, the Richland Hospital and Clinics continues to look forward to fostering these connections and helping students discover the many rewarding paths available within the healthcare industry. We have two new winners in the Grace Calendar raffle drawing from today. $50 winners on ticket 103, Amy Buttress from Lone Rock, and on ticket 2701, Ionia Gonzalez. Congratulations to both of you. Vital statistics right after this.